You're listening to 1520 AM WCAG Westchester. Heard worldwide at WCAG1520.com.
Control officer and found to my surprise that this county official possessed a manila file folder that he had labeled werewolf. Now that's news when you have a county official with a file folder marked werewolf, werewolf, werewolf.
Have investigated since I was director of special projects at the CBS station in Denver about the worldwide animal mutilation deaths, and it was quite a paradigm shift for me then to sit and listen to sheriffs telling me that we weren't dealing with satanic cults, we weren't dealing with predators, we were dealing with something from outer space.
The communication is just like this message, like a message will come into my mind, you know, and say, we're here. They say, we. They never, they don't say, I'm here. And I've never heard that back. It's always, we're here. And then I'll pick up my camera and go out and wherever they are and start filming.
Sheep rancher up in Lincoln County found that during a severe thunderstorm, he heard a muffled explosion that was different from the rest of the thunderclaps. The next day, he went out to check his fence and his sheep. He found the wreckage.
And at age four, I noticed an entity in my room. They're about 5 foot tall. It's pure white with large round eyes. And I just cannot figure out for the life of me what it is.
I want to welcome everyone to the airwaves. Welcome to WCHE's 1520 AM station here. Welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. I'm your host, Rob Simcox. And I'm here flying tonight pretty much solo and coming to you from the downtown, beautiful downtown Westchester studios exclusively here on WCHA. That's right, I said exclusively. He said it, he meant it. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight from all the way from Delaware all the way up to Pottstown, wherever you're at in between. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. You don't get a lot like this, and, you know, I guess I learned to appreciate them more. So I want to thank you, everyone, for tuning in. For the next 3 hours, we're going to tell you what to think about the Obama invasion to kill Osama. So you thought you knew what you thought about it, but no. We need to tell you what to think about it. Am I the only one sick of the talking heads on this?
Well, the war on the terror isn't over yet. It's far from it. This is just a small blip on the screen. Shut up.
It's like every time they have a presidential speech, they got to have people on after you to tell you what he said. You were too stupid to think for yourself. Well, welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. I am your host, Rob Simcox. We have a good guest tonight. We have a guest up at the 8 o'clock hour. His name, Paul Kimball. He's put out a video, which has aired in Canada, called Best Evidence, Top 10 UFO Sightings. Now, you see a lot of UFO documentaries and everything like that. And, you know, sometimes you have to go out and buy them, you know, buy the DVDs. And, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? This one you can view online for free. You can make a donation if you'd like. And he appreciates every dime he's getting. But in the 8 o'clock hour, he's going to be up here talking to us about it. The top 10 best evidence of top 10 UFO sightings. His name is Paul Kimball. If you want to go to go check it out, go to my Facebook page. You can go to the Facebook page. Look up Robert Simcox. You'll see the Paranormal Cafe shield there. Feel free to friend me. Look at the wall. You'll see that he's up there, and you can connect straight through to view the video for yourself. That is active link, so you can just go right into that and view for yourself. A very interesting video. He's also looking to put out a sequel, which I'm sure that's why the donations go for the first one. Donations go for the second one, so he can produce that. But like I said, it aired in Canada, and really looking forward to having him on tonight. So. Looks like a good show lined up here tonight. We may have a surprise guest or two. If you are out there all across this fruited plain and around the world and would like to get in on the show or just like to talk about a topic that you would like to talk about, whatever it is, 610-701-WCHE, 610-701-9243. I want to thank last week we had Celeste Mattie on the air, and she came on and talked to us for a good amount of time. She can be reached at CelesteMattia.com. That's CelesteMattia.com. That's CelesteMattia.com. She gets embarrassed every time I promo her, but I figure she comes on and talks to us and puts up with us, so I think she deserves to be able to have a little bit of promo. She doesn't need it, though. She doesn't need it. She's very very in demand, so to speak. So thank you very much, Celeste. She came on last week. I had a cancellation, or a rescheduling. I shouldn't even say a cancellation. But a rescheduling, she's going to come, and she came on, and we will definitely have her back in the studio live here in WCG Studios. She loves coming down, loves seeing us down here, and I think you will too. So I'm really looking forward to it. Like I was saying about earlier, there's, you know, like 5,000 people on the TV to want to tell you what to think about the Obama raid on Osama bin Laden. And, you know, I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't need, you tell me the facts. I don't think I need to sit around and talk about it forever, but it is what it is. And, you know, war on terror, that's, you know, that's a whole different subject there for me. But, well, it's just, you know, it's been 10 years of coming. And for some people, it is closure. It's kind of, you know, I kind of akin it to the end of the Second World War, when people were celebrating that, you know, we wouldn't send any more people off to die. Now, mind you, that's not the case right now, but it's a big landmark. And so, you know, I'm happy for it. Hey, go for it. There are some other things I want to talk about. I want to try to get into a little bit tonight before we bring on Paul Kimball at 8 o'clock. I'm thinking about, like, UFOs, you know, that sort of thing. I've had a lot of people on here. I had people on PAZ when I was broadcasting on there talk about their own UFO experiences. What I mean by that is I try to get to the source. If you've noticed, there's a consistency with this show. I try to get to the source of who's talking about what. Okay, I don't like to go, you know, to second, third person down the line too much. You know, there are exceptions to that rule, of course. We have a great researcher out there, Leslie Kane, who is an excellent researcher. And you got to have it the second or third with her, because she's letting you, you know, hear the account straight from the person that had it, too. So there is a little bit of a disconnect there. So very, very cool. But I like to have the person who experienced it. I like to hear from that person. You know, tell me what you experienced. Tell me what you had. Tell me what's going on with you. Because you know, that's just me. That's just the way I see it. But I don't know. There's some screwy stories out here, and I love to get to the stories in the first hour, which, you know, is very cool. The first hour, I like to get to some stories, talk about things, and I'm not going to get too much into the Pakistan invasion or anything like that. Pakistan raid, I should say. I'm not going to get into that much, because you've probably heard it all over the TV sets. Everybody's telling you everything about it. We'll go in the paranormal direction tonight. This is a really strange story. It, you know, everybody's heard of that everybody's heard of cartoons and comics and everything. They were really, really big deal for kids growing up. You know, there is a such thing as patriotism and they're created in America and they're Americans and the truth, justice in the American way. And really, great, you know, but there's a story here that I'm looking at. I just can't quite make heads or tails of it. And I'd like to, you know, try to get you to, chime in on it. Because we've talked about cartoons and comics before on here. We talked about Captain America, that sort of thing, when that was the big deal. But here's a story. There's a story here that comes to us. Let me see where it comes to us from. Because it was the BBC, so U.S. and Canada. Okay. The title of the story is Superman May End U.S. Citizenship, Says Action Comics. Action Comics has got to be a division of DC, because that's where, you know, Batman, Superman, all them guys come from. Superman intends to give up his U.S. citizenship, a story in a new issue of Action Comics declares. Quote, I'm tired of having my actions construed as instruments of U.S. policy, the character says in a story sees him flying to a Tehran protest. Okay. Adopted by an American family, Superman decides he's better off serving the world. Though he only talks about his plans to give up citizenship, the story has been criticized by commentators worldwide. The superhero, originally from the fictional planet Krypton, does not clearly renounce his citizenship in the issue. So basically he talks about it, talks a good game, that type of thing. Action Comics co-publishers Jim Lee and Dan DiDio say Superman announces his intention to put a global focus on his never-ending battle, but he remains, as always, committed to his adopted home and his roots as a Kansas farm boy from Smallville. The disputed story sees the hero standing silently at the protest, wanting to show demonstrators that they are not alone. Superman's announcement comes after accusations from Iran's government that he has caused international incident. In the 9-page story written by David Goyer, Truth, Justice, and the American Way. It's not enough anymore, Superman says. The world is too small, too connected. This is not the first time a comic character has distanced himself from U.S. policy. In the 70s, Marvel Comics' Captain America swapped his identity for that of a character nomad at the time of the Watergate scandal. Yeah, you heard me right. Captain America turned into nomad. And everybody knows what nomad means. It means you got no home. So, you know, again, comics are playing around with the truth, justice, American way. I just thought it was interesting because, you know, that's the whole concept of Superman. I mean, the guy runs around in a blue and a red cape, blue outfit and all that kind of stuff. I know he's got gold in his costume too, but he's not red, white, and blue technically. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know, maybe I'm overblowing that one, you know. But I always like to take a look at the stories like that to see how the tendencies are laying, because people tend to be in a situation where little things like that tick them off. You know what I mean? Like Superman's identity as a U.S. citizen. It's just drawings in a book at this point. But some people have put a lot more into it. There's a story here, let's see. I've gotten about 10 emails, actually more than 10 emails, sending me a picture of Osama bin Laden. I always make that slip up. I'm sure a lot of people do. Osama bin Laden is like, you know, post-mortem pictures. Well, as of this moment, I don't think they've been released, and the pictures that are out are clearly Photoshop fakes. So, no, that's, you don't have to send me any more of them. I've seen it about 10-15 times. I keep opening them up. You know, thanks for the heads up, but it's not there. Let's see. Here's something that I've always talked about. We must have done at least a half dozen stories on stuff like this. And this fascinates me. Portland, Oregon. This comes to us from the Spokesman Review. Portland, Oregon. I believe it's Oregon. I may be wrong. Yeah, Oregon, or Portland, Oregon. When Karen Butler came out of sedation after oral surgery a year and a half ago, her mouth throbbed and her face was puffy. But that's not all that changed. When she spoke, the words tumbled out in a thick and foreign accent. "I sounded like I was from Transylvania," she said. Hold it. I thought I said a... Okay. I'll read that quote again. "I sounded like I was from Transylvania." Okay. Over the next few days, the swelling subsided and the pain vanished, but Butler's newly acquired accent did not. Though it has softened over time, she's never again spoken like a native Oregonian. From Madras to most people, she sounds British. It took months to find an explanation. Foreign accent syndrome, a disorder so rare that only about 60 cases have been documented worldwide since the early 1900s. "She's the first known case in Oregon," said Dr. Ted Lowenkopf, medical director of the statewide Providence Stroke Center. The condition changed Butler's life, forcing her to answer endless questions about her accent. Most people are incredulous at first. A few insist she's faking it. Foreign accent syndrome is usually caused by a stroke, though it has been associated with multiple sclerosis, head injuries, and migraines. Boy, you want to talk about a coincidence there. Migraines. I'm just getting over a migraine in like a day and a half. Well, actually, it was a little longer than that, but I still got it tonight, so a little bit of that. One of the first cases reported at the turn of the last century by a French neurologist, but the best known case documented by a Norwegian neurologist, Gorg Herman Mondrad, was a 30-year-old woman who was hit by shrapnel from a German air raid over Oslo in 1941. The injury left her with speech impairment that it gradually improved, turning into what sounded like a German accent to her countrymen. Suspecting that she was a collaborator, they ostracized her. So the Germans bomb Oslo. She gets hit by a shrapnel from a German bomb, starts talking with a German accent during World War II. You want to talk about bad luck? That's bad luck. When it first happened, we didn't know what it was. All kinds of ideas were hardened up as to possibilities, said Butler, 56-year-old mother of five. Her family joked that she had spun into a past life regression. She sought help from her dentist and family physician. Both figured the dentures put in during surgery had caused the change. She felt that wasn't the case, but weeks after the operation, at the end of November 2009, she focused on Christmas, and then it was January. Manager, what? Went back to work and everything. In May, when tax season died down, she consulted a neurologist in the Carvelas area. After some research, he came up with a diagnosis. So, is that something? I mean, it's obviously rare. But why would you start speaking in a foreign accent? Not foreign languages. Accent. Like just one day. Oh, hello. How are you doing there? Hi, Pip. Who, Bernard, your uncle? is it possible? I mean, I guess it's okay. I guess you could affect a certain accent from living in a certain area, you know, that you did not normally come from. I mean, it happens all the time. People move to the south. They get a little bit of a twang in their voice, and then they move back north, and then they got a little bit of a twang in their voice. I worked with a couple people that happened to. I don't know. Maybe. Is that something that you believe in? Do you think that could happen? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. The Chinese are cutting edge. Cutting edge. I'm really proud of them, too. You need a towel to wipe off that sarcasm. okay. Everybody's talking about the Apple iPads and all that kind of stuff, iPhones and everything. It's the biggest fad, and they're like, oh, my God, all my information's being saved to them. Okay. Factories making sought-after Apple iPads and iPhones in China are forcing staff to sign pledges not to commit suicide, an investigation has revealed. At least 14 workers at Foxconn factories in China have killed themselves in the last 16 months as a result of horrendous working conditions. Many more are believed to have either survived attempts or been stopped before trying at the Apple supplier plants in Chengdu or Shenzhen. After a spate of suicides last year, managers at the factories ordered new staff to sign pledges that they would not attempt to kill themselves, according to researchers. Getting them to sign agreements. They were made to promise that if they did, their families would only seek the legal minimum in damages. So it sounds more like a legal ploy here than actually trying to get them not to commit suicide. An investigation of the 500,000 workers by the Center for Research on Multinational Companies and Students and Scholars Against Corporate Misbehavior, SACOM, everything's got some abbreviation, found appalling conditions at the factories. They claim that excessive overtime was rife. Despite legal limits of 36 hours a month, one payslip showed a worker did 98 hours of overtime in 1 month, the Observer reported. During the peak periods of demand for the iPad, workers were made to take only one day off in 13. You do that in America and people flip out. Badly performing workers were humiliated in front of colleagues. Workers are banned from talking and are made to stand up for their 12-hour shifts.
You, no talking. You, put down that iPad. Do not try to activate it.
The anti-suicide pledge was brought in after sociologists wrote in an open letter to the media calling for an end to restrictive working practices. Yeah, you heard me right. The anti-suicide pledge was brought in after sociologists wrote an open letter to the media calling for an end to restrictive working practices. They fixed the problem. You bastards better not try to kill yourself. But the investigation revealed many of the workers still lived in dismal conditions, with some only going home to see a family once a year. One worker told the newspaper, "Sometimes my roommates cry when they arrive in the dormitory after a long day." She said that they were made to work illegally long hours for a basic daily wage, as little as, £5.20, because it's English, which comes out to be about $7.50, and that workers were housed in dormitories for up to 24 people in a room. In Chengdu, workers working between 60 and 80 hours overtime a month was normal, with many breaching Apple's own code of conduct with the length of their shifts. An investigation found that employees claimed that they were not allowed to speak to each other.
Hey, no buzzing. Do not buzz at each other. We will not tolerate your buzzing. Oh, you want to talk to each other, do you? I will fix that very quickly. Overtime for everyone.
I thought so. Okay. Foxconn admits that it breaks overtime laws, but claims that all overtime is voluntary. I've worked at places where overtime was voluntary. It wasn't so voluntary. I've been into those places. We have some overtime. We know you've just come off a 16-hour shift, but we have 16 hours of overtime. The next 16 hours, we need you to take that. You know, I'm really tired. I think I'm going to go home. I want to grab some Z's. Maybe I'll put in overtime later on in the week. Really? Okay. We're not going to be able to use you for a long time. Yeah, I've been there before. So, this is the price of our iPads and iPhones, and I'm sure they're not the only thing that has that interesting nuance about it. There's all, you know, gadgets come from somewhere, and we keep giving our money to the Chinese to do it cheaper, and you know, that's what's going to happen. You can say whatever you want. If it's drawing it, it's drawing it, you know. This is a, you read the story and it kind of just, huh? Once upon a time, not so very long ago, by the way, this comes to us also from the BBC, and not very long ago, there was a large empire. It was called the USSR. One day, all of a sudden, it disappeared. Among the Soviet states left behind were two giants, Russia and Ukraine. They began to argue about borders, about territory, even about who owned the gas pipelines. Today, they were fighting again, but this time it's over fairy tales. Russia has published a controversial national fairy tale map laying claim to some of the most popular folk tales in the Russian-speaking world. The map displays 36 fairy tale characters, which it maintains have Russian roots. Among them is the Gingerbread Man style cute cake Kolobok, a fat bun who skips his way through the forest, chased by some greedy beasts desperate to gobble him up. On the fairy tale map, Kolobok is shown originating in Ulyasnovsk region. Ulyasnovsk region, birthplace of rather less cute, though more revolutionary, Vladimir Lenin. Among the other characters features are the folks hero Ilya Muromets and Karochnya Rabaya, a Russian hen which, rather conveniently, lays golden eggs. Like you never heard that one before. In fact, golden eggs may well have something to do with the map's appearance. After all, the towns and cities which claim to be the birthplace of popular fairy tales can expect to attract more tourists and make more money. This summer, we'll see the first ever fairy tale tours in Russia, predicts Alexei Kolkovsky of the Association of Russian Communities, the organization which has produced the map. There will definitely be tours in Yaroslav, Ryoganovsk, and Kharkov regions. But Ukraine is up in arms. It has its own national fairy tale map and argues that Kolobok, Ilya and Muromets, and Karochka all have Ukrainian roots. In the case of Kolobok, Ukrainian linguists argue that Kolo is a Ukrainian word meaning round, proof that the popular pastry man Kolobok had a Ukrainian passport. With that logic, you just well argue that the American city Colorado comes from the Ukrainian word Kolo, responds Mr. Kozlovsky. You could go on endlessly about this. There's actually a Russian word, kolob, which refers to a round dough. So you'd think that, I mean, I'm looking at a map, and the one that they produce, and it shows different fairy tales and supposedly where they originated from. Is it really that important to start going crazy over it? I mean, the tourism trade is very lucrative, but for fairy tales, would you visit a place because of a fairy tale? Maybe some people think they already are visiting places that are fairy tales. I don't know. Hey, top of the hour, by the way. Stay tuned. We have Paul Kimball coming up. He's produced a video that has aired on Canadian TV. Includes our long friend and respected guest. You know who I'm talking about. The video is called The Best Evidence Top 10 UFO Sightings. And he's going to be with us at the top of the hour talking to us about the top 10 UFO best cases. Now, your kid top 10 may be different from his top 10. But, we'll see. I always ask the pat questions for people that are doing UFOs and, you know, what got them into that and everything like that. But there's some interesting cases we can talk about. And by the way, I'm talking about Stanton Friedman. If anybody else doesn't know what I'm talking about, Stanton Friedman's in it. And really kind of cool. There's like two or three articles I want to get to. But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking more about these stories. But I want you to kind of get together or what, you know, kind of think about these. What's the best evidence for you? What is there a case that stands out for you in UFOs? And like I said, you can view it online for free. So that's not often that happens. If you have a video, usually people do not like to give it out for free or post it online. But he's looking to make a follow-up to it, so this ought to be interesting. What I'm going to do is take a break real quick. And when I come back, I'll be talking more about a couple articles. And then at the top of the hour, we'll go to Paul Kimball, Best Evidence, Top 10 UFO Sightings. You're listening to the Paranormal Cafe.
You're listening to 1520 AM WCHE Westchester. Heard worldwide at WCHE1520.com.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Cafe. I want to thank you for listening. At top of the hour, we have Paul Kimball coming up. Going to talk to us about the top 10 cases in UFOs. He's going to make a sequel to it. It's already aired on Canadian TV, and you can see it live, or not live, you can see it online if you go to my webpage. Go to Facebook, look up Robert Simcox. You'll see the shield, the Paranormal Cafe shield there. Just click on it, say, I want to friend him. You can look at my wall. You'll see the connection to Paul Kimball. Be more than happy to have you on board. Hey, there's a story here I did want to get to before we closed out this hour, and I wanted to get people's opinions on it. If you want to give me a call, 610-701-WCHE, 610-701-9243. What it'll do is, I don't get this story, and if you can understand it any better than I can, please feel free to interpret. This one comes to us from the New York Times. I don't understand it whatsoever, but let's see. Fayetteville, North Carolina. In the military, there are more than 3,000 chaplains who minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of active duty troops, regardless of their faith. The vast majority are Christians. A few are Jews or Muslims. One is a Buddhist, a Hindu, possibly even a Wiccan may join their ranks soon. But an atheist? Strange as it sounds, groups representing atheists and secular humanists are pushing for the appointment of one of their own to the chaplaincy, hoping to give voice to what they say is a large and largely underground population of non-believers in the military. Joining the chaplain corps is a part of a broader campaign by atheists to win official acceptance in the military. Such recognition would make it easier for them to raise money and meet on military bases. It would help ensure that chaplains, religious or atheists, would distribute their literature, advertise their events, and advocate for them with commanders. But winning the appointment of an atheist chaplain will require support from senior chaplains. A tall order. Many chaplains are skeptical. Do atheists belong to a, quote, faith group, end quote? A requirement for a chaplain candidate? Can they provide support to religious troops of all faiths, a fundamental responsibility for all chaplains? Jason Torpy, a former Army captain who was president of the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers, says humanist chaplain would do everything religious chaplains do, including counsel troops and help them follow their faith. But just as a Protestant chaplain would not preside over a Catholic service, a humanist might not lead a religious ceremony, though he might help organize it. Humanism fills the same role for atheists that Christianity does for Christians and Judaism does for Jews, Mr. Torpy said in an interview. It answers questions of ultimate concern. It directs our values. Mr. Turpey has asked to meet the chiefs of chaplains for each of the armed forces, which have their own corps, to discuss his proposal. The chiefs have yet to commit. At the same time, an atheist group at Fort Bragg called Military Atheists and Secular Humanists, or MASH, here's another abbreviation. Everybody wants their abbreviations. Very interesting how everybody wants those abbreviations nowadays. You're up on the Paranormal Cafe?
Oh, boy, Michael, I'm up on somebody's place.
Uh-oh, why is that?
Just hello and good evening. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
All righty. I have witnessed myself firsthand on December 31st, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
A Protestant minister overseeing or doing a Catholic funeral.
Okay.
It's not uncommon. We're all Christians. It's just another style.
Right. I can't see that as being too much of a stretch.
The biggest stretch I would see are some of the Southern Baptists who are throwing around snakes.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see that happening at my mother's funeral.
No. It's each their own type of deal, but...
Yeah, well, it's not mine. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine. Do you think that do you think that atheists play into this? I mean, would you be comfortable with an atheist as a chaplain? I mean,
that's an oxymoron.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
That's certainly an oxymoron, to be square with you.
Yeah,
I don't know much about atheism, to be square with you. To me, an atheist is someone who has who's void of any belief in a superior being.
I think so. I think that's fair in saying. It's pretty self-explanatory, I think.
Yeah, well, let me play a word game with you, Rob.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. Some words are more self-explanatory than others,
mm-hmm.
and the others you have to look into for a definition.
Okay.
Therefore, what do you call the color gray?
Yeah,
is it leaning towards the white or towards the black or somewhere in the middle?
I guess it'd have to be technically in the middle.
Yeah, it comes down. Well, okay, fair enough. That's,
yeah, technically,
For example, but nonetheless, I'm sure I've made my clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, fair enough.
Exactly.
What do you think about this finally getting Ramalan or Ding Dong out there out of the country?
Well, I mean, it's been 10 years, and that was our prime objective back then. You know, you strike those who strike you. And, you know, I think this is just my inkling. I think there's going to be people are going to think of conspiracy theories for 100 years after this because of the way it happened. But you know what? It happened the way it happened.
Yeah, and that's it. Think anything you want, just, you know, about the facts, you know, that can't diddle with the truth.
Yeah, the guy, I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. The guy is a murderer. He's a mass murderer.
Touché.
So, you know, I to get all upset about somebody that murdered our brethren, you know, I don't have that sorrow in me. I don't know. Maybe I'm ice cold. Maybe I'm not a good religious person or whatever, but I just don't feel it. I don't feel that he was deserving of a,
I'm with you as well as, very same words could be said about Himmler and Hitler and the Hun.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. You know, sometimes I tend to be one of those people that look at humanity and the civilization as a flower box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't rehabilitate a weed. You have to pull it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And some weeds should not have come to such fruition.
Exactly. You know, there's going to be some weeds that just suck from other plants. Now, mind you, everything's not going to be a flower. You may have like a dandelion in there. Okay, dandelions are pretty in their own way.
Yeah.
I'm not a cold-hearted person. And you may have a potato plant here and there.
But when it comes down to, even wild mustard looks nice, but when it comes down to poison ivy.
It is what it is.
Yeah, you got to pull it. And it's a shame this guy wasn't pulled back in the 80s.
I agree. We had our shot. You know, a lot of errors were made. But
allow me to play, again, be rhetorical with you. I don't think there were errors made. It's just that poor decisions were made.
I think so.
Which led to errors.
Right, right. And, you know, in the field of intelligence, you have to make a long shot now and then. And this, and regardless of what people may think, this was probably a long shot. We had no assurances it was going to be there.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to take your word on it, but I'd rather take the word of the CIA.
Yeah, he could have been down the street playing golf. We don't know. It was 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, then again, where's the leadership of Afghanistan?
Right. Yeah, where's the leadership of Pakistan, you mean?
Or Pakistan, yeah, what am I saying?
Yeah. And he's living in a pretty big building that was way out in the ordinary, and, you know, they knew. Somebody knew.
What surprised me the other day, yesterday, is that they were saying, this is the mansion where he was living, and cheese and crackers. I've seen some ghettos in North Philly which were more mansionous than this.
Yeah, but you got to understand, it's a different society.
That's true.
You know, they don't have, they're just not wealthy people, and
neither are they in North Philadelphia compared to parts of Chester County.
Right.
I'm not trying to throw anything stupid.
No, but you got to remember too. People, some of the highest paying taxes people live in cities in the littlest houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have high taxes. You know, $5,000 a year on a little plot of land.
Yeah, that's the city for you.
Mm-hmm. That's why people move out.
I've often what are the words of was it a Billy Joel song that said move out to the Hackensack, is that what you get for your money?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Punch the clock 9 to 5, is that all you're getting?
Yeah. Well, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie, it's always good to hear you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Hey, did you make it out to the May Day Festival on Sunday?
I did not. It's been a weird time with me lately, but having some things going on. But, you know, I did not make it out, but I would have loved to have made it out, but I just couldn't do it.
Monday was the first year anniversary of the of the Chimichanga travesty.
Oh, it happened on the 1st? I didn't realize it was that.
Yeah, May 1st. Saturday, May 1st last year, they were going to celebrate their 70th anniversary. And, you know, it's a lousy way to, have an anniversary to burn it down.
Exactly. But they came back.
Yep. It took them 6 months. Essentially 7 months.
Right.
Into about the about the 13th of December.
Right, exactly.
I remember coming home someplace from Chester County, doing something or whatever it was, or Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
I called home. My mom answered the phone, and her nurse never heard of Jimmy John's hot dog. So 2 days after that they had opened, I went in and brought hot dogs home for the whole family. They apparently all enjoyed them.
Well, you know, people underestimate the hot dog. My parents used to take me to a place, John's Doggy Shop, out in Delaware County.
Where is that? The one there by the Nifty Fifties?
Is that 420 you're talking about?
Yeah, 420 McDay Boulevard I'm thinking of.
There may be one there, but I don't know of that one. The one I knew of was in Chester. And there was also one on Conchester Pike.
Okay, that's 322 you're talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're on Conchester Pike.
We know where the Wawa's at?
Well, there's several of them. Pardon me. What town?
What's it, Aston or Twin Oaks?
Okay, down there. Mm-hmm. All right, yes. I know right what you mean. Johnny's Hot Dogs.
Yep, Johnny's Hot Dogs.
And speaking of sausage, mm-hmm. You ever get up to Zern's?
I have not. I've heard of it. I have not gotten there.
Go up, presuming you live in, from your studio.
Mm-hmm.
Go straight up High Street, and, of course, that being Route 100. Go all the way up to Route 73. Turn right, go about 3/8 of a mile.
Okay.
And look on your right side for Zern's Farmer's Market.
Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
My first love.
Yeah, man, I tell you, and make sure your freezer's empty. And I don't know that you want to go with an empty stomach, but nonetheless.
I love farmers markets.
Look for the butcher in the east wing, or the delicatessen in the east wing.
Mm-hmm.
And look for something we Germans call Landjagdvest.
Right, okay.
Translated would be land soldier's sausage.
Right.
Fantastic snack sausage there.
Very cool, man.
Yeah, nothing like it. Hey, Robbie.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for your time and best wishes. And I also want to leave you with this, an apology. pardon me, please. I feel obliged to at least express an apology. I seem to have come down hard on your guest last week regarding the photography.
Well, you know, it was...
I mean no harm.
I know what you're saying. I think there was some aspects of that bothered me. I think it was not necessarily that you could call and I have no problem with you calling and disagreeing. Excuse me. calling and disagreeing with me. I have no problem with that at all.
Sure.
Or calling and disagreeing with my guest. I have no problem with that, but I think it went beyond that a little bit.
Well, I'm apologizing.
Okay. I understand.
I just felt as though it was quite, with all due respect, that it was misleading, and that was my interpretation.
Well,
that, how I want to at least base my disagreement.
I understand.
From a photographer's position.
Yeah. Let me Hank. You call up a lot, and we talk back and forth. But let me for a couple minutes here, a minute or two,
sure.
Go into something here.
Anything you want.
Here's where I took exception to things, okay?
Okay, please.
Flashback to July 05, 2005.
I'll do my best.
I'm sitting in a gentleman's house by the name of Eric Heinrich, and we're sitting here talking about the concept of a new show. Nobody's ever heard of Rob Simcox. No, nothing's ever broadcast. It's just something out of the blue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've investigated houses. I help people with haunted houses and stuff like that. So what I do is I pick up the phone and I call somebody. I call Celeste and I say, "Hey Celeste, we're talking about kicking the idea around about doing a show based on the paranormal. As God is my witness, the first words out of her mouth is, 'How can I help?'"
Okay.
Not what, you know, will you run commercials or you run promos for me? How can I help? So I was like, that's pretty cool.
All right, that's fine.
Flashback a couple years before that, I'm doing homes and some people were kind of being, you know, disrupted, in some cases terrorized in their house by whatever is going on. And I'm at wit's end with some of the cases. So I call Celeste up. And this is a woman who makes $60, $70 to $75 an hour doing parties, doing readings, and that sort of thing.
All right.
She, I tell her the problem. She says to me, "How can I help?" Okay. That this is somebody that you know has. This is just a reoccurring theme with her. Last week on Monday, my guest cancels on me. Not cancels, reschedules. I'm sorry. Whoever the guest was, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. I call up Celeste later, about 10 minutes after I got the phone, and I tell her the situation. I say, "Hey, Celeste, you know, I had a cancellation and everything." First words out of her mouth are, "How can I help?" And she comes on. I think, I didn't have a problem with you disagreeing with her. I had no problem with you disagreeing with me. But I think where I had the problem, Hank, is when I went home and I got an email from you. And it talked about, you know, the process of what you're talking about. And I, you know, I can respect that. And I don't even know that I subscribe to aura photography. I don't even know that I subscribe to that idea. But I think in the closing of it, you said something along the lines of that what is being talked about was being deceptive.
That's the way I felt, squarely.
Okay. Now, let me just put this forward. This is a woman I've known for 20-plus years, and she's not just a guest on my show. She's a personal friend of mine.
Okay.
I honestly got to tell you, man, that's flat-out abusive, because now what you're saying is now that with her saying that, she not only is she misinformed, you're saying that she's informed, but she's trying to deceive somebody with what she's saying.
With all due respect, Rob, that's exactly the way I felt.
Right.
I'm not trying, again, I Rob, I like you.
I like you too, man.
And I don't want to, I want to clear it up point blank. That I am a photographer. I am not the world's best photographer. I'm not the most knowledgeable photographer.
Okay.
But I can very easily find old techniques that go back to the 19th century.
Okay.
Late 19th century, World War One era, and even today with digital photography, where exactly this aura photography can be done, point blank. Very specifically, you can just pull down a screen behind somebody and give that type of an effect.
Okay.
I believe this very sincerely. What I told you is the truth. Now I could be wrong, and I'm wrong,
that's not my point, Hank. The photography is not the point.
All right.
You went to the point of saying that she's being deceptive.
And that's the way I felt, because I know the science and technology of photography.
So you didn't know that she's being deceptive. You just said she was being deceptive.
From my perspective as a photographer, yes.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
So now, that's my point is, Hank, is that you don't know and you're making declarations.
My knowledge is based on photography.
Okay. And by her saying something, she's being deceptive. Not that she's interpreting it her own way or that she might see it from a different point of angle. She's just flat out being a liar.
I won't... Well, that's the way to interpret me, then so be it. You know, and I don't mean harm.
How do you interpret deceptive, Hank? The word deceptive.
Deceptive is not being forthright and honest.
Lying.
Fair enough. So be it.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying is I'm not going to have that kind of stuff going on with my guest or me.
Okay, then I'm apologizing outright to you for crossing.
See, here's the other thing is, Hank, that
yes, sir?
You apologized like four times before you said stuff yet last time. So that tells me you're not... An apology is something that you say after the fact. It's like, hey, you know, I was incorrect there. Or I handled that wrong. Or I did this wrong. You don't apologize before you smack somebody in the face.
Fair enough.
So tell me, what does that apology mean, really?
The apology is for crossing you and perhaps not presenting myself in the best way I could have.
Oh, I understood it. I understood the way you're presenting yourself. What I'm saying to you is, what does that apology mean when it's not real? It's just words at that point. They're just words because they don't mean anything because you throw them out like they're candy. Before an insult, you throw them out like candy. How am I supposed to take that, Hank?
Well, you can only take me at face value, I reckon, Rob.
I'm asking you how to take you, not face value, because The apology you just told me, in so many words, I just told you, I'm sorry, that it doesn't mean anything. So if I apologize to you before I do something ridiculous or I say something silly, then it wasn't accidental. I didn't say it accidentally. So you're not apologizing to me for being rude. You're not apologizing to me for disagreeing, which I don't want an apology for disagreeing. You're apologizing that I'm offended because you're referring to my friend as a liar.
And I regret that you're offended by what I my statements based on science and technology.
So you just said to me that you're not an expert in photography by any means. You said
I am not fully educated in the field, but I have enough experience.
And you knew inside of her head that she's a liar because
I didn't know inside of her head. It's just
that's what you're making the assumption. You're making the assumption she's lying because she's being deceptive. That's where I have the problem with it, Hank.
Presentation that I interpreted from my experience as a photographer showed to me that. There are other means and methods of having this, presenting this exact same type of horror photography,
right.
which may not necessarily have been a ghost.
So in other words, she's interpreting it separately from you. Her interpretation is different than yours.
And I find the interpretation to be wrong.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with you disagreeing, my guest.
And additionally, I find the interpretation to be misleading.
Deceptive. So that's my point. That's where you go. That's where you cross the line.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry that you feel this way. I can only tell you from my experience as a photographer. I could send you a photograph within the hour.
Photography is not the point.
I understand you. That's where I'm basing my statement solely and only on photography.
But I'm amazed that it's not about photography that you decided that you decided she's lying. That is
on that point I'm deciding such.
So you're not an expert by any stretch. You know something about photography, and I'm not going to disrespect that. But you obviously are not a professional, or I shouldn't say that. You obviously are not an expert, but. You're going to make the assumption that she does know a lot about it, and she's just deceiving people because she's being deceptive?
That's my position.
So
my experience in photography, that's my position.
Okay, that's where I come down at. It's abusive. It's wrong. I wouldn't let people do it to you, Hank. I wouldn't let somebody call up here.
Fair enough then, Rob. And I regret my behavior. I didn't mean to cross anybody.
It's not whether you meant or not. I'm saying to you, I have no problem with you disagreeing with my guest. I have no problem with you disagreeing with me. I sit here, Hank, and I get emails to me threatening my life. Do I freak out? No. I get emails to me telling me how much I suck as a broadcaster. Do I freak out? No. My problem is when you go and you turn to a person and you say, they're lying. And only based on their interpretation, Hank, that's my problem, is you're calling her a liar. And I'll tell you something. She's probably one of the most genuine people you'd ever meet in your whole life. This woman came out several times, wouldn't take gas money from me. And I don't understand how you can make a determination that she interprets a picture different than you, or she interprets a process different than you, to mean she's lying. That's where I have the problem with it, Hank. I wouldn't let it happen to you. I wouldn't let somebody come on this line and say, Hank's lying because he doesn't know what he's talking about photography. You're not being deceitful. You're saying what you believe. That's where you cross the line with me.
I understand your position, and I regret crossing the line with you, Rob.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. I don't know if I can make my point any more clear than that. I'm at a point where I just don't know that I can actually say I'm going to let people come on and abuse my guest. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not going to let it happen. You want to call up and call me all kinds of names? You want to call me a liar? You want to say I'm some kind of CIA operative? You want to say I'm some kind of plant somewhere, or I'm some mouthpiece or something like that? That's fine. I've gotten death threats by email. I don't care about that. I don't care. Mary in Kansas City sends me an email about every 2 to 3 weeks. Tell me how much I suck. That's fine. You don't like what I'm doing here. That's fine. You can call up. I'll put you on the air. You don't even have to give me your name. You can say you're Bill Schmill from nowhere. I don't care. You can say whatever you want. But my problem is, if you're going to come on these airwaves and you're going to bash on my guest who's volunteering her time, not just not getting paid, not asking for a promo somewhere, not asking for nothing. You came on my airwaves, and you are abusive to my guests. That's where I draw the line. I wouldn't let it happen to you. But yeah, you seem to have no problem with going after my guest. If you have a problem with my guest, you disagree with my guest, that's fine. You disagree with me, that's fine. But if you're going to come on and abuse my guests, call them liars? Are you insane? That's where I take issue with it. Now, if there's a complaint about this, a complaint about my rant, complaint about me getting upset, what you need to do is get in contact with Bill Mason, 9 o'clock Monday morning. I'm sorry, today's Tuesday, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and complain about it. That's the proper procedure. You have a problem with the way I address this, you have a problem with the way I feel about this, you have a problem with the way I'm taking care of it, you go to Bill Mason, GM of WCHE, and you handle it that way. I will not have you calling up and abusing my guests. Abuse me? Fine. Abuse my guests? Abuse other callers? You must be insane. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to allow it. You crossed the line. And for you to sit there and call her a liar. I've known this woman for 20 plus years. And to call her a liar. Deceitful. Somehow you know, because she said something about aura photography in passing, that you know everything there is to know about photography. You've got to be kidding me. She interprets oral photography differently than you. So therefore, because she doesn't believe in what you believe, she's a liar. She's a liar. Totally uncalled for. Completely, completely uncalled for. That's the way I'm going to handle it, and the issue is done with me. It is over. I don't want to hear any more about it. It is done. I am not a ranter. I don't go crazy on the airwaves much, but this is the line. And when you call and abuse my guests who are volunteering to come on these airwaves, these guests don't get paid. I do not send a check to these guests. They do not send a check to me. They come on because they're talking about what they believe in. They're talking to us. They're sharing their expertise with us. They're sharing their viewpoints with us. The Paranormal Cafe. Take what you will. Leave what you must. Do you think that everybody that comes on these airwaves, I agree 100% with wholeheartedly? Hell no. I don't agree with everybody that calls in. But then again, I don't have just anybody appear on these airwaves. I have to have some sort of respect for the work they've done. It's just completely uncalled for. Bill Mason, call him tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. If you have a problem, 610-692-3131, 610-692-3131, Bill Mason, GM, WCHE, 1520 AM. You have a problem with that? You call them, and you tell them. You know why? Because I'm going to give them the tape of this. Completely ridiculous. The matter is done. You're listening to the Paranormal Cafe.
You're listening to 1520 AM WCHE Westchester, heard worldwide at WCHE1520.com.